This episode of A Week Late is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best and free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never charge for anything. For all this and more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.
What's up, kids? Welcome to another episode of A Week Late Podcast Retro. My name is Darren, aka Analysis 489, on Twitter and various other social networking sites. Welcome back, I should say, to the growing number of listeners. Thank you for that. And subscribers as well. Keep it going, please and thank you. To the new listeners, first-time listeners, I would first of all welcome you. And I would also suggest that you go back and maybe listen to a couple of episodes so you kind of get the flow and the premise. I usually kind of go over it a little bit. It's pretty simple. I got tired of having podcasts and review shows get early access to movies and then come out with a review for said movies to ruin the movies. I'm usually not able to go to a movie right when it comes out. For various reasons, either because I am too broke or too lazy. And I go a few weeks later. So I figured, why not mix it up a little bit and give you guys some time to go watch a movie without me having to spoil it for you. And just in case, I also, 99% of the time, let you know via a spoiler countdown when to stop listening. All right, now that that's out of the way. The movie that I'm going to be watching today, I'm a huge fan of documentaries, as you may or may not know. I was flipping through my Netflix queue. Once again, not sponsored or endorsed by Netflix, but I'm letting you know I'm getting my my movies through a legal means. Not to say that's how I get all of them, but that's neither here nor there. This movie is called Chasing Ghosts Beyond the Arcade. It is a 2007 documentary that is not rated. It runs about an hour and 27 minutes long. Not about, that's a precise number. For the retro episodes, I do a scale of 0 to 5. Netflix is on a scale of 1 to 5, so I give you two separate ratings. The Netflix rating and my rating. The Netflix rating out of 44,000, wow, out of 44,000 views, it has an average rating of 3.7 stars. But overall, Netflix's best guess for me is that I'm going to give this movie a 4. We'll see how close that is or not. Pretty much, instead of just assuming what this movie's about, I will read the description thusly. At the unassuming Twin Galaxies Arcade in Ottumwa, Iowa, hope I said that right, early gamers fought for bragging rights at the 1982 Video Game World Championships. See how competitive gaming started and meet arcade owner Walter Day, who still oversees scoring. Very interesting. I noticed that Netflix didn't give a director or any credits, really, mostly because I would guess it's a documentary. However, it is directed by Lincoln Rugby. Don't know how to pronounce that. And an interesting thing that Wikipedia offers is that the cinematographer is Lisa Wigand. Again, don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And I find that interesting because a lot of people never give credit to cinematographers versus directors, and I figured I would just throw that out there. So, that being said, it looks like a lot of people enjoyed the flick. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of documentaries, and I'm a huge video game nerd, and this sort of combines documentaries about video games. For anybody out there who's also a fan of documentaries and documentaries about video games, go watch King of Kong. I believe it is on Netflix. I'm sure it's on Amazon and other places. You can probably download it or watch it on YouTube somehow. You guys are smart. Figure it out. So, that is about, like, this whole, as the title mentions, this whole sort of competition revolving around getting to the kill screen on Donkey Kong Country, the cabinet arcade game. For those of you that don't know what a kill screen is, before we had fancy Xbox 360s and PS3s and Wii U's, we have, had to throw Nintendo in there, we had these huge, taller-than-people cabinets that held arcade games. They're really rare nowadays, and it's really cool when you do see one because it sort of brings you back. And it kind of fits the theme of the midweek episodes of A Week Late Podcast. Last week I did a regular show in the middle of the week, which is kind of off kilter, but things will be like that through the holidays. So I'm sure nobody cares except me, but I'm getting used to it, so you should have to as well. So yeah, I'm interested to see what the Video Game World Championships was like in 1982. I was, how old was I? I was four? Wait. I was 3 years old in 1982. Holy crap. Jesus. I just outed my age, so there's that. The title is sort of, the cover of the movie has sort of a Pac-Man theme to it, which gives you the era that we're in video games and retro and nostalgia and all that good stuff. So, you know, I guess my expectations are probably middle of the road for this. It seems like other people really liked it, but we'll see how it fares. These episodes are designed to just give you sort of something to listen to entertain while you, something to hold you over, if you will, a nibble, in between regular, theater episodes, which are released on the weekends, usually on a normal basis. So there you have it. We'll get some intermission music going. For the new listeners, I have this running thing. The theme song to the retro episodes are different than they are for the regular episodes and the bonus episodes. So fans.aweeklate@gmail.com is how you can get at me to let me know if you recognize the theme song, because it is also the theme song, which I'm pretty sure is still copyrighted, to a show, a really good show in my opinion. The only clue I've given, it ran for one season, I believe, and if I'm not mistaken, it was on NBC. I should probably do more research, because if I give you the wrong clues, then you may not come up with it. I don't know if there's going to be a prize. Maybe your website will get a plug, or I don't know. There's some big things coming up, too. For people that don't know, on the music side of things, I have a music blog, if you will. I hate calling it that because it makes me sound like an 18-year-old. But, yeah, we have some cross-promoting going on with a lot of up-and-coming events for some interesting partnerships coming up the road, shall we say. If you're interested in music, I will be hitting that up also in the second portion after I come back, after watching Chasing Ghosts Beyond the Arcade. So go watch it. You thought I was going to end there. I did too, to be honest with you. Go watch it if you feel like watching it. Here's some intermission music. If not, then don't do anything. Just keep listening, and I'll be back for the second portion. Cheers. Everybody, to part two of a weekly podcast retro episode for Chasing Ghosts. So, to the new listeners, I think this movie, it's strange because I don't usually prepare is the word I'm looking for. And had I prepared, I think I would have had a little bit better knowledge going into this movie. It's really weird that I mentioned King of Kong in the first episode, or the first portion of this episode. Without giving too much away, this movie is somewhat of a sequel to that. I think I should just go into the ratings of the movie because there aren't really any spoilers in a documentary, I would imagine. But I just recently watched a documentary by the name of Hito Dreams of Sushi, and that kind of did have spoilers in this whole storyline of it all. I'm glad I mentioned the cinematographer in the first portion because I really love the way this movie was shot. If it was for that alone, the director and the cinematographer of this movie, if they worked together, even if they didn't, plus the editors of this film deserve a 5 out of 5. Unfortunately, that's not how this works, but that is kudos to them. There were these sequences where they would take these 8-bit representations of these classic video games, everything you can think of. I think for people that are my age, like 70s babies, you would appreciate this a lot, especially if you grew up in the pre-internet, multi-dual-core processor power, computers, and whatnot. Pre-8-bit, even. A lot of kids these days don't know what an NES is, and so it's just weird. For these people, I think you'll love this movie. I had middle-of-the-road expectations for this movie. They were definitely exceeded, and at one point I wanted to give this movie a perfect score, but then to what may turn into spoilers and why this movie doesn't get a full perfect score for me is because of the way some of it was portrayed, some of it portrayed these people as, I don't know, maybe it's just so real that it seems like they did it this way, but if it is actually how it broke down, then perfect. But I just don't think that these people were portrayed 100% how it may be. I saw a lot of jump cut editing, which I know is done on purpose, but also shown to let you know that there were possibly large gaps between things that were being said to describe what was going on. And for people that did go and pause it or whatever and went and saw this documentary, or if you've seen it before and you just listen straight through, you'll know what I'm talking about. For that reason, though, Netflix wasn't that far off in predicting my score. I'm going to go with which Netflix said that it would be a 3.9, let's just say 4 stars. Not too far off. I'd give this movie a solid 4.5. It would have been a perfect movie had it not been for those times where I just thought they were portraying these real-life people as sort of sadder and more pathetic, maybe, than they are in real life. And if they are really that sad and pathetic, it was one of those movies where it was, like, funny and sad and feel good at the same time, but also that feeling of, holy crap, like, I mean, you have to understand, pre-internet, these guys were YouTube rock stars to the equivalent of that, especially in a place called, I think I did pronounce it correctly, Ottumwa, Iowa, which, by the way, is a self-proclaimed video game capital of the world. I think the real video game capital of the world is Japan, just saying, Tokyo in particular, but what do I know? I think the grandiosity of it all in Iowa, to an extent, to a specific crowd of people, as a scorekeeper, the guy, the referee, if you will, which is bringing it back to why I think this movie is sort of a sequel to King of Kong, the guy's name was Walter Day, who was also featured in The King of Kong, and this whole movie pretty much revolves around him and this arcade. And I knew that it was kind of familiar when I read about it, but it's been forever since I saw King of Kong, probably about 8 years ago, I think, when it first came out, however long ago that was. And if I'm wrong, somebody call bullshit on that. I don't know. But yeah, so this is sort of like picking up where King of Kong left off, and it's really crazy to me because Billy Mitchell, who was also in King of Kong, is largely a part of this movie. Steve Wiebe, however, is not, and he was the one disputing the Donkey Kong championship in King of Kong, full title, Fistful of Quarters. And this one's Chasing Ghost, full title, Beyond the Arcade. So I don't know if this is done by the same production company, if this is meant to be a follow-up or a sequel, but I would suggest to get the whole story and to see how big these guys really were as far as, and they're in the middle of nowhere, Iowa, and for there to be people coming from Canada, California, Florida, Texas, New York, Chicago, to this little town to where this guy was keeping score because nobody else had the passion to do that. It's pretty amazing. But like I said, to me, some of it was just a little bit steered more towards showcasing maybe a sadder part of what may be bigger to them than we think. I don't know. But there you go. That's the review of Chasing Ghosts. Really, the only, and I rarely take notes, the only thing I really wrote down was the confusion between why Steve Wiebe wasn't mentioned as the Donkey Kong or Donkey Kong Jr. champ versus Steve Wiebe. The only thing they mentioned, or I'm sorry, versus Billy Mitchell. The only reason they even mentioned Billy Mitchell is because he broke the Pac-Man world record. And they never even mentioned the fact that Billy Mitchell had anything to do with high score of Donkey Kong. So I found that to be kind of strange and confusing, being that I've seen both of these video game documentaries. And so for that reason, it wasn't completely factual for me and seemed a little bit biased, so the score got knocked down a little bit. But other than that, like I said, on style alone and cinematography and just the feeling of nostalgia, it should be a perfect movie. But that's just how I rate it. So there you go. Like I mentioned before, these are short interstitials, if you will, to hold you over. However, I did want to mention, in connection with this movie and tying everything into one particular retro theme, it does make you feel really good. It kind of ends on a downer note. I guess this is the only spoiler, is that, and really no countdown if you want one, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, spoiler alert. The referee mentioned, Walter Day, in the final scene, is shown wrapping up his referee jersey that he's been wearing this whole time as the official scorekeeper for the video game world, pre-internet, and possibly dating into getting into present day. But it did show the before, present day, and after, and future, you know, progression of these people. For the most part, they're doing, you know, okay, and they have regular lives. They're still kind of weirdos and nerds and geeks and creeps, whatever you want to call them. But one thing that kind of was a downer to me, for me, was that he puts his jersey, his referee jersey, in a bag, and the captions at the very end say that he's sending it to the Smithsonian Institute or museum, whatever you want to call it, for video game history, something or other. And then the next caption said that division or department does not exist. So I was just like, oh, that's kind of fucking sad. Like, he's sending it to a non-existent capture of video game history that does not exist. In his mind, it should, maybe. I don't know if that's true. Like, it kind of, and that's what I'm saying. I don't know if he really sends it to, I don't know. Maybe it's just too sad or too pathetic for me to believe it's true, but there's that. But it also made me want to play Assassin's Creed 3 some more. This is just a quick sort of reminder to the people that have been listening. We will, in fact, be doing an Assassin's Creed 3 only version, edition, of A Week Late Podcast. It's coming up real soon. Apparently, my co-host who's been on the show before, Christian, decided to play Pokemon instead of staying on task and playing and keeping up with me on Assassin's Creed 3. He's not here to defend himself, and I don't give a shit, because that's just ridiculous to pick Pokemon over Assassin's Creed 3. To pick Pokemon over anything is pretty sad. But I'll give him a good riffing when the time comes. So that's coming up. Also, for anybody who cares, I guess I'm going to be wrapping it up. I didn't want to spend too much time. I've been wanting to keep the schedule to about 30 to 40 minutes for the midweek episodes. I'm trying to get back on schedule. But I also don't want to skip over anything that deserves to be mentioned. So thank you, I guess, for listening to this episode of A Week Late Podcast, Retro Edition. You can catch us on Twitter at A Week Late. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/A Week Late Podcast. We are on iTunes. Just do a search for A Week Late, and that will pop up. On the other side of things, for our returning listeners and the new listeners, there is a music blog. Again, I hate that term. A music page, if you will, where I promote close friends and, in some cases, family members that have independent music, whether it be hip-hop, drum and bass, dubstep, electronica in general. I push that. Some really big announcements hopefully coming soon from some new and upcoming artists that are not anywhere local. We are trying to expand with the help of the music blog and the music site and podcast. Hopefully you guys will be on the ground floor of something pretty cool. Like I said, it continues to grow. Coming up soon will be more mixes from Deuce Wild from Colorado. A lot going on with Head Knocker out of Tampa, Florida. Close personal, some family of mine running and doing music videos that you can find on fenentertainment.com for the music stuff. You can follow that at FenPromos on Twitter and facebook.com/FENEntertainment. That's it, folks. If I think of anything else while I'm putting this together for an upload, I will add it at the end after the credits. But if that does not take place, you can also hit me up at fans.aweeklate@gmail.com or for music-related stuff, fenpromos@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Once again, my name is Darren, a.k.a. at the word analysis. The number is 489 on Twitter and Facebook and Xbox Live. If you hit me up on Xbox Live, let me know that you listen to the show so I'm not just adding random strangers. All right. Appreciate it. Tell your friends and family and visit aweeklate.com to stream if you don't feel like subscribing and commenting on iTunes, but it would help me out. Tell your friends. Thanks again. Go catch Chasing Ghosts Beyond the Arcade. And let me know what you think. Drop me an email or hit me up on Facebook and Twitter. All right, kids. I'm pretty sure I forgot a ton of stuff. But that's what I get for not prepping. Hope you like it anyway. And if you don't, who gives a shit? It's free. So there's that, too. All right. Cheers. I will see you a week ago.
Weekly is brought to you by FenEntertainment.com, offering the very best in free independent music from the great sunny state of Florida and beyond. Download underground hip-hop, rock, industrial, drum and bass, dubstep, ska, drumstep, jungle, and much, much more. From single tracks to full sets, albums, and remixes, all for free. Plus the latest videos that get you up to speed on all the current tech, art, music, video games, TV, movies, pop culture, and even anime. No ads, no pop-ups, no flashy distraction banners, and it's absolutely free. Never a charge for anything. For all of this and for more information, go to www.fenentertainment.com.
I knew it was going to happen, but like I said, I'll put this to the end so I don't really have to edit anything down. I forgot to mention the fact that in the movie, there was a guy that was really good, obviously, at one of these arcade games, and he actually ended up moving out to no more than 5 or 6 miles from where I live in Florida, in the Tampa Bay area, Hernando County. I noticed he said that he moved out there to help his parents. They're apparently retired, and I noticed that Florida gets a bum rap a lot. This movie didn't really help to further, actually solidify that even further, to the point where this is one of those creepos that I mentioned that ended up just sort of being depicted in a really sad and pathetic light, maybe to the truth, maybe away from it, I'm not sure, but maybe it hit too close to home, the fact that, and by the way, all of Florida does not look like that, especially in the area that I live. Maybe I'm just making excuses, but seriously, there was literally a retirement community about 6-7 miles from here that looks like it's from the 50s, and it just paints Florida again in a negative light. I don't know, maybe I just have a stigma about that, but in podcasts and in news stories, because mainly people from here kind of are, maybe I'm not even going to include this, I don't know, but yeah, that's how I feel about that. I don't know if that, yeah, I don't think I'm keeping that. Maybe, anyway, not all Floridians are stupid, not all Floridians are hicks, and we don't all live in trailers, so there's that. Nothing against people that do. Some of them might be cool peeps, but this guy just creeped me out just a little too much. So there's that. Do with it what you will. Cheers.